Well, turning your Bibles to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John. Of course, we're continuing our study of this great book. We started last week, and what we did is we just got a big overview of the book, and we talked about who John is and the purpose of the book and some of the key words and sort of how the book fit together. And the bottom line is that John presents Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the one who would die and rise again, and whoever believes in him has eternal life. That's it, and we saw that. John presents him in that way. He's the one who gives eternal life by faith. There is so much in this little book. Of course, our goal is that we'll not only understand the salvation message presented by John, because that's the purpose of the book, is that people would read it, study it, see who Jesus is, and trust in him as Savior, but we'd also see that there are a lot of other biblical truths in there and principles that we can make application. Now, this morning, we begin what is often called the prologue, and that's verses 1 through 18. It's sort of a special part. Some people have actually said that this is the greatest introduction ever written. In these first 18 verses, John shows us Jesus Christ, and he presents him as the Son of God, the Word. He calls him the Word in this passage, the Word who would become flesh. And for these next couple of weeks, it's going to take us 2 to 3 weeks to really go through it. We're going to explore this section. We're going to see the powerful statements made. And this morning, John actually tells us 4 things about Jesus Christ. He calls him the Word, and we'll see how that is. Now, as we begin, let me just raise just a few questions, okay? Few questions. First of all, as we look at this passage, who is the Word? And of course, we've already talked about it. If you go a little further down to verse 14, the Word is Jesus Christ, because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So who are we going to talk about? Who is the Word? And then how is Jesus Christ described in these verses? And we're going to see he's described in 4 ways. And then how do these truths affect our relationship to God and others? In other words, what we can learn from about Jesus in his first part, what does that do in our relationship and our fellowship with God and even to others as well? So there's a lot as we go through. Well, as we begin, remember Jesus Christ was with his disciples, and at the time he asked, I think, probably one of the greatest questions ever asked, and it's found in Matthew 16. Don't turn there, but he asked his disciples, he said, who do the people say that I am? And of course, they looked around at each other, and they said, well, some people say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, some you're one of the prophets, something like that. And then he looked at them and said, but who do you say that I am? And, of course, Peter's going to always step forward and talk, because he always talks first whether he says the right thing or not. But this time he's going to say the right thing. But before Peter gave the answer, which was the right answer, let's think for just a second. What do people, who do people say Jesus is? There are some people say, well, Jesus was a great teacher, that he came to tell us about God. And some people say, well, he was a great example, that he showed us how we're to live. And some people say, well, he was just a really good man, and he showed us how to live a good life and those kind of things. And then some people say, well, he was a prophet from God to give us information. Well, the truth, who is he? Well, he is all of those things. He is the greatest teacher that ever lived, and he is a great example. And he was not a good man, he was a perfect man, and he was a prophet of God because he was the living Word of God. But there's so much more than that. And when Peter answered that day, Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? Peter said, you're the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. And that's exactly right. Who is Jesus Christ? Is he a teacher, an example, just a teacher, an example to show us about God? Or is he the Son of God, the Messiah, and the Savior? Well, this morning, as we look at John's introduction, the first 5 verses, all 18 is the first 18 verses is actually the prologue. But we're only going to get the first 5 verses this morning. But as we look at this introduction, we'll see clearly that John wants the reader. He wants us to understand that Jesus Christ is God and that he is the one who gives life. And he clearly states it. Look at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ is God. That's what we're seeing. There's so much in these verses. We'll see them as we go along. As we start, let me just remind you a little bit of what we saw last time, get you the background. John is the author, and we think of John. He was one of the disciples of Jesus. He's also one of the apostles. He was probably the youngest one. When you read this gospel, he describes himself as the apostle whom Jesus loved. That's how he calls himself. So that would be pretty great to say. I'm the apostle that Jesus loved. He's the youngest of the disciples. He lived the longest. He probably lived to about 95 AD before he died. He probably wrote the Gospel of John around the year 80 to 90. Now, he wrote 5 books. He wrote John, First, Second, and Third John in the book of Revelation. So he's a very powerful man, and he probably wrote this book around 80 to 90 A.D. It was the last of the Gospels written. It was written for a particular purpose. In fact, when you look at the Gospels, you remember there are four of them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew presents Jesus Christ. In fact, let me say it this way, and I taught it last week. Some of you may not have been here, but when you look at the Gospels are not the life of Christ. They are selected events of the life of Christ written by these authors so they might show who Jesus Christ is. The Gospel of Matthew shows that Jesus Christ is the King. The Gospel of Mark shows that Jesus Christ is the servant. The Gospel of Luke shows that Jesus Christ is the perfect man. And the Gospel of John shows that Jesus Christ is God. He's the Son of God who gives eternal life. Now, I want you to see something. I want you to see his purpose for writing the book. If you would, flip over almost to the very end of the book to John. Hold your place in John 1, but flip over to John chapter 20, and we want to look at verses 30 and 31. We saw this last week, but this is the purpose of the book. Sometimes when you study the Bible, it's hard to figure out why the author wrote the book, but the Gospel of John's not hard because he actually tells you why he wrote the book. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. I want you to see there. I hope you're there. John 20, verse 30. Here's what it says. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Now, Jesus did all kinds of miracles and all kinds of signs. John writes and says, there are many other signs Jesus did that I didn't put in the book. If you look at all the Gospels together, Jesus may have done, some people estimate, 35 different miracles or signs. Some people say around 40. But he says there are a lot of other signs Jesus did that I didn't put in this book. But these signs have been written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, that means the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God, and that by believing, you would have life in his name. So his twofold purpose was simple. I wrote those signs that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing, you would have life. That's the message. We want people to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the one who died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again, the one who gives eternal life by faith. And whoever believes in him will never perish, but have everlasting life. That's the purpose of this book. That's why he wrote it. So all who believe in him are saved and saved forever. Go ahead and go back to the very beginning of the Gospel of John. I just want you to see that. Now, when you think about the book, and we talked about this last week, there are two words that stand out in the book that are used over and over and over again. And the two words are believe and life. The word believe is used 98 times in the Gospel, and the word life is used 36 times. Now, the idea there is to believe, and that's what he says. He says, I want you to believe in him for eternal life. So he wants us to believe, and it's used over and over. Think of John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believes. John 1:12, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even those who believe in his name. John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, here's my word, and believes him who sent me. Over and over and over again, the word believe is used because that's what he wants us to do. He says, I want you to see who Jesus is and believe that he is the Christ, and by believing, you would have eternal life. And that's why the second word is life. It's used over and over again that when you believe in him, you get eternal life. Jesus Christ is the one who gives life. John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. John 14:6, he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. It says in the very beginning here, in him is life. And of course, the most famous verse of all, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever, here's the word, whosoever believes will not perish but have everlasting, here's the other word, life. It's over and over again. Jesus Christ is the one that gives us life. Now, we gave, and I hope if you got one when you came in, if you didn't, you can get it when you leave, but we have this little card that we've got for you, and it's the Gospel of John. On one side is the outline, on the other side is some information about John, when he wrote it, about who wrote it and when he wrote it, and what the basic thing is. But I want you to just think about the outline, and I've got it right here, but it's also on this card for you, and the book can divide this way. The first 18 verses is the prologue, that's the introduction. It'll take us a couple of weeks to get through that. Then in chapters 1 through 12, the first 12 chapters of the book is where he shows seven different signs that Jesus did to show that he is God. That's the key, and we'll see that. Then in chapters 13 through 17, it's the upper room discourse, the last night with Jesus, with his disciples, before he goes to the cross. So he's there with them, and we got five chapters of him teaching them. It's very, very powerful. Then in chapters 18 through 20, it's where he's arrested, and he goes, and he stands before Herod and Pilate and all everybody, and he ends up, of course, dying and then rising from the dead, death and resurrection. And then chapter 21 is the very last thing. it's the final instructions. It's where he tells Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yes. He says, feed my sheep. And he does that three times. And we'll see that when we get to it. Now, so on one side of this is the outline. On the other side, I just wanted to show you, is where we list the seven signs and the seven I ams. Now, the seven signs, John put in there to show you that he indeed is the Son of God by these signs. The seven I ams are seven statements that Jesus makes in the book that shows that he's God as well. Because when he says, I am the bread of life, I'm the light of the world, I'm the door, I'm the good shepherd, he's claiming to be God. And so this book is full of showing that Jesus Christ is God and that whoever believes in him has eternal life. Now, we also had something for you. If you can pick these up out front, we had them last week, we'll have them this week, and we'll just have them continually. But this is a little book called Living Water, but it's actually the Gospel of John. It's this book, and it's just in a little form. It has a little some notes with it, and you can use this to give to people because the book was written so that people would read it, believe that Jesus is the Christ, and by believing have eternal life. So what you can do is when you talk to people, and maybe they do not know Christ as Savior, you can say, hey, listen, why don't you do this? Read this little book. Read this book and tell me what you think. Because when they read the book, they will see Jesus, and they will see Jesus as the Son of God who is the Savior, and by believing in him, they will have everlasting life. So it's some great things there. So pick as many of those as you want. Just grab them. We're going to get more. We can get as many as you want, and it'll just always be piled up with those books there. And, of course, use this little thing and put it in your Bible and use it as you do your own study. Now, as we start this morning, John's going to show us four things about Jesus Christ. Let me show you how it breaks down. First of all, in verses 1 and 2, now, he's called the Word there. I just want you to know it's the Jesus Christ, who is the Word, is God. That's verses 1 and 2. Then we're going to see that Jesus Christ is the Creator. That's verse 3. Then in the first part of verse 4, that Jesus Christ is the life giver. And then the last part of verse 4 and on into 5, it talks about Jesus Christ is the light. And so those four things we're going to see. He's God, Creator, life giver, and life. And we'll see how those tie together. And this is powerful. Now, Jesus, is, in this first part, let me just read it. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And I want you to understand that the Word there is the title for Jesus Christ. It's describing him as the Word. And we'll get more in a minute about what it is and see how it fits together. He begins with an overarching statement. And it's the key of the whole book. And that is, from all time, Jesus Christ is God. Always been God, always will be God. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Notice what it says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, he starts with beginning, and we want to raise the question, what beginning? What do you mean, in the beginning? What beginning? Well, realize he's talking about the eternal beginning, because when you think about God, God doesn't have a beginning, not in the way that we think of it. So he says, in the beginning, from all time back, was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let's think about beginnings for just a second. Do you realize that when you look in the Bible, there are actually three beginnings that are listed? First of all, there's a Genesis 1:1 beginning. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's the beginning of creation. That's the beginning of this world and our universe and everything. And God just spoke it into being. So there's the beginning of the creation. Then in 1 John 1:1, it says that which we have seen from the beginning, we have touched and held. It's talking about Jesus Christ, his physical being. When Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven and became a human being. So there was a time that Jesus began being a person. Okay, the third beginning is the one we're seeing here, John 1:1, and it's the eternal beginning, because when he says, in the beginning was the Word, he's saying, from all time, there's the Word. The eternal beginning. If you can go all the way back, which you can't, because he just keeps going and going and going, he's saying the Word has always existed. In the beginning was the Word. Now, he uses the word word. It's the Greek word logos, L-O-G-O-S. It's pronounced in Greek logos. And some people say logos, but that's not the way you say it. It's logos. And it has the idea of mind and thought. And so why John describes him as the Word, he's saying it sums up what we need to know about God. Because what Jesus Christ does, Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Jesus Christ reveals what God is like. That's why he's called the Word. In fact, if you remember in John 1:18, we'll see it sometime. It says, nobody has seen God at any time, but the only begotten God, talking about Jesus, is the one who has explained him. So that's why he calls him the Word. And it's very powerful. He is in John 1 and 1 John, he's called the Word of Life. In Revelation, he's called the Word of God. There is a written Word, which is we call the Bible. There is the living Word, which is Jesus Christ. He says, in the beginning, from all time, was the Word. He did not become. He was not made. He just was, always has been, eternal. Notice there's something else. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Literally in the Greek, it means face to face. It means a fellowship. It means a relationship. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. From all time, the Word and God have been together. The Word is Jesus Christ. God is the Father. There's the Father and the Son. They're two different persons, the Father and the Son, but they eternally exist, and they've always been together. So he says, I want you to understand, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And then he makes it very clear, and the Word was God. Plainly, Jesus Christ is the eternal God. And he uses was because he's basically, he didn't want it to think like the Word is God, like just now he became God. No, he said the Word was God. He's always existed in that way. Understand, Jesus Christ did not start existing when he became a person. He's always existed. In John 8:58, do you remember that? He was talking to the people, they were up to him, and he said, Jesus said this, he said, Abraham was glad to see me. And they looked at him and they went, Abraham lived 2,000 years ago, and this man, Jesus of Nazareth, says Abraham was glad to see him. So they looked at him and said, you're not even 50 years old. How could you have seen Abraham, and how could he have been glad to see you? Then Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. He's saying, I've always existed. I existed before Abraham. I've always existed. In John 17:5, I've got it right there. It says this. He talks to the Father and he says, now, Father, glorify me with the glory that I had with you even before the world was. Before he ever created the world, Jesus and the Father had been together. Psalm 90, verse 2 says, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. I want you to understand, Jesus Christ is the eternal God. When he says, the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, that's what he's saying in these verses. He says, we see his preexistence, he was in the beginning. We see his relationship, the Word was with God. We see his deity, the Word was God. And so summing it up, from all time, Jesus Christ was with God and is God. If someone ever comes to you and says, Jesus Christ never claimed to be God, just look at them, first of all, like an idiot, because they are idiots, because they've never read the Scripture, obviously. I mean, think about it. Jesus Christ said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, I and the Father are one. John basically says the Word has always existed with the Father. It always existed. From all time, Jesus Christ is with God and is God. And he wants to make sure we got it, so he goes to verse 2 and says, he was in the beginning with God. See, he and the Father have always existed. Always. Now, we're really talking about the Trinity. I just put the word Trinity up here for you to remind you. Remember, there's one God in three persons, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. That's one God, three persons, always existing for all time. We cannot comprehend that. We can believe it. Because, see, we're finite and he's infinite. He's an infinite God. He's always existed in three persons, one God in three persons. We go, I can't comprehend that. I can believe that, but I can't comprehend it. And so when we see this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, God the Father, the Word is Jesus, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with the Father. They're always together. He's only dealing with the Father and Son in this passage. He's not dealing with the Holy Spirit at this point. He will later on. He shows that Jesus Christ is God. Now let me ask you something. How do you and I respond to the fact that Jesus Christ is God? You understand that we've come together this morning not to go to church. We've come together to worship the living God, Jesus Christ. That's why you came. I mean, we'd say, why'd you go today? Went to church. No, we didn't just go to church. You've come as a group of believers to worship the living God. Jesus Christ has existed from all time. At a point in time in history, he became a person so he could die for us and be our Savior. And we trusted in him and we're saved and we're saved forever. And we're coming together to worship him, to sing songs, to give our gifts, to give our lives and say, Lord, we want our lives to count for you. That's why you're here. It's not a game. It's not a social club. You're coming to worship the living God and to be trained to represent Him. That's why you study the Bible, so you can know it and be trained and equipped so you can go out this place as a representative of the living God. It's powerful. So the first thing we see is that He's God. Now, we'll go a little faster as we go through. The second thing we see is that He's the Creator. Look at verse 3. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. He's the Creator. Everything came into being, and He's talking about the creation of this world, and it all had a beginning point because Jesus Christ spoke it into being. All things came into being, and notice, through Him. That means He's the agent that brought it in together. He's the agency. He did it all. He's the Creator. Jesus Christ is not part of the creation. He's the Creator. He is separate from His creation. You hear people say that He's the air that I breathe. He's not the air that you breathe. He created the air that you breathe. See, if you say He's the air, that's pantheism. Pantheism is that God is in everything. No, no, no. God created everything. He is separate from His creation. And so it says all things came into being through Him by the agency and apart from Him. Listen, apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Listen, Colossians, well, look at this. Colossians 1, 16 and 17 said all things were created by Him, for Him, through Him. He is before all things, whether thrones and principalities, anything, everything has been created by Him. Hebrews 1, 2 says that the world was created by the Son, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11 says He did it out of nothing. Now, when it says that apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being, literally in the Greek it says not even one thing has come into being apart from Him. Everything came from Jesus Christ. He's very specific. Nothing exists that Jesus Christ didn't create. Nothing. He's the Creator. So what we've got so far is He's God and He's the Creator. Well, the third thing is the Word is life. Look what it says. In Him, this is verse 4, in Him was life. He's the life giver. That's why 36 times in His book it talks about life. He is the life giver. If there's any life at all, it's because Jesus Christ gave the life. Look at this. Look at the different kinds of life. There's physical life, spiritual life, abundant life, eternal life. Think about all those lives that all comes, that life all comes from Jesus Christ. Think about Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I give eternal life. That's what He does. Let's think about it for just a second on what God, what Jesus Christ does. First of all, how does Jesus Christ give life? First of all, He gives physical life. Psalm 139 says, He formed you. He created you in your mother's womb. You were created by God. He is the one that gave you life, physical life. Think about that. There's nobody else like you. The word in Psalm 139, when He says, I created you, it's like weaving a tapestry. He says, I'm going to make you this way. This is how I'm making you, and I'm giving you life, physical life. So the second thing is spiritual life, and that's you were dead in sins, now you're alive. Ephesians 2:5 says we were dead in our trespasses and sins, but He has made us alive. When you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, He makes you spiritually alive. You were dead spiritually, now you're alive spiritually. That's through Jesus Christ when you trust in Him. The third way is abundant life. John 10:10, and this is for believers, when you live by the Scripture, when you live according to the Word of God, when you live in fellowship with God, He said, I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. There's an abundant life that you can have as a believer. And then last but not least, of course, He gives eternal life. The moment you believe in Jesus Christ, He gives you life forever with Him. John 10:28, I give you eternal life. You will never perish. He's the life giver. If there's ever any life at all, it's because Jesus Christ gave life. It's powerful. So He's God, the Creator, the life giver. But here's the fourth thing. He is the light. He's the light. Notice what it says. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. He's that light shining in the darkness. Isaiah 9:2 says the people who walk in darkness will see a great life, and those who live in a dark land, the light will shine upon them. He's the light. He's the light of the world. Think about it. When you think about light, it has a dual aspect. Light means holiness, because in the Bible there's a contrast always between darkness and light, and darkness and light. Darkness is sin, light is holiness. So when it says He's the light of men, He's the holy, righteous one, but light also shows the way. Light also is the one that reveals and shows the way, and He is the shows the way of salvation. You remember the verse that Stephen read right at the very first, John 8:12? It says, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Those two words, light, life, all of that goes together. He's the light that shows the way to life. So that's why we have to point people to the light. We point people to Jesus Christ. The message is Jesus Christ. The message is a person. We're telling them about Jesus who died and rose again. We're not telling them about a church. We're not telling them about some ritual. We're not telling them about a religion. We're telling them about Jesus Christ who is the Savior. We point people to the light of the world, Jesus Christ. He is God, Creator, Life Giver, and Light. And in the Bible, you always see that contrast. I mentioned it a while ago. Light is holy, pure righteousness. It's God. Darkness is sin, failure, and the fallen world. Now, the reason I brought that up is because of verse 5. Look what it says. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now, what he says literally is that this light of Jesus Christ continually shines into a fallen world. In fact, when it says the light shines in the darkness, it literally says is shining. Is shining now. It's present tense in the Greek. The light is shining in the darkness. The darkness is a fallen world in which we live in. The light of Jesus Christ shines in this world. That's why he's the light of the world. And we, who are children of light, we have the privilege of going into a fallen world and showing people the light. The light, Jesus Christ. When people believe in Jesus Christ, they go from darkness to light. And look at this right here. In John 12, 35 and 36, we're called sons of light. But in John 3, 19, the world it says, the world loves, men love darkness rather than light. Because the world is fallen. In Acts chapter 26, when Paul got his commission, God told Paul to go into the world to the Gentiles and take them from darkness to light. Now, this word at the very end, it says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Some of your Bibles, it'll have a little note down there. It'll say, or possess it, or overcome it in some way. Now, it has a dual meaning of this word. It means to understand, and it says the darkness didn't understand the light, because the darkness is the fallen world, and the fallen world doesn't understand the things of God, 1 Corinthians 2:14. But it also means that the darkness did not overcome it. Stop it. Nothing can stop the message of Jesus Christ. Nothing can stop the truth that he is the Son of God who died and rose again, and whoever believes in him has eternal life. Nothing can stop that message. That's why even in the book of Matthew, when they talk about the church, and Jesus said the gates of hell will never prevail against the church, meaning nothing can stop the message. We get to tell people the good news of Jesus Christ, that he is the light of the world, that we actually go out of here as children of light to proclaim the light, Jesus Christ. So in these first few verses, John has told us that Jesus Christ is God, the Creator, the Life Giver, and the Light, the one who shines in a fallen world. This is just the beginning. You see how much is in there? We only got 5 verses. We got a whole 21 chapters to go. There's so much we're going to see. Think about this. Jesus is the message to the community and to our world. The message about the person, Jesus Christ. John tells us that Jesus Christ is God, Creator, Life Giver, Light of the world, the eternal God who is the Savior. Let me give you some applications. Let's think about it. First of all, may we gain an understanding of our Savior Jesus Christ. Just in these first 4 verses, literally 4 or 5 verses, we see that he is God, that he's the Creator, that he's the Life Giver, and that he's the Light. Now, I want you to think about how we respond to that. Look at this next thing. Since he's God, how do we respond? Well, let's bow down and worship him. When you come on a Sunday morning, we come to see friends, we come to talk, we come to have a great time, we come to get coffee, we come to be together. That's okay. But you've ultimately come to worship the living God. That's why you're here. To know the truth about him, studying the Bible and understanding and singing praises to him and worshiping him. So let's bow down and worship him. Number 2, since he's the Creator, let's give him thanks. Thank him for making us. Thank him for making the world. I mean, you walk out and you see a sunset, you ought to go, good job. That's another good one, right? Because he created it all. He does it all. Everything he does is amazing. We ought to thank him for that. And then thank him for the fact that he's the life giver, right? He gave us physical life. He gives us abundant life. He gives us spiritual life. He gives us eternal life. All of us who believe, we get that. It's amazing. Thank him for our lives. And then finally, thank him that he's the light of the world. That nothing can stop it. We get to proclaim the good news message. That's so amazing. Well, that's good stuff. Well, here's the second thing that I want you to think about. And that is, let's proclaim him. Let's proclaim Jesus Christ as Savior. Because see, salvation is in the person of Jesus Christ. It's in a person. We believe in a person. We believe in Jesus, the Christ. That's why he said, see these things and you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior, and that by believing in him, you'll have eternal life. So we go into this community. So get the Gospel of John's. Get anything you want to get. We got other tracts out there. You can pick up anything. Go with John 3:16 and say, listen, Lord, would you use me to proclaim in this community Jesus Christ? Because he's the only way of salvation. There is no other way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. And whoever believes in him has eternal life. It's not works, goodness, righteousness, or anything that we have. Our faithfulness that we have is none of that. It's just faith alone and Christ alone for eternal life. You believe and you have life. Those two words. May we realize that only the eternal Son of God, who is the Creator, life giver, and light, can be the Savior. May we proclaim him in this community. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a passage. Thank you, Lord, for so much that is there. Lord, we want to understand who Jesus is, that he indeed is God, the Creator, the Life Giver, the Light. May we grasp all that as we worship you, as we look at your creation, as we thank you for our lives, and we proclaim the light in this community. And Lord, that's what we want to do. We want to be faithful to tell people about Jesus. And so I just ask you, Lord, would you use this group of believers and use me and them, that we would go out from here looking for opportunities to tell people about the light of the world, the Savior, the one who died and rose again, the one who gives life to all who believe. Lord, use us for your glory. Thank you for this body of believers. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.